Together in our Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5 and verse 22, by the inspiration of God, says this: But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I want to say to you as we begin this morning that this last Sunday, my family and I were not here. We were in Pennsylvania. But we were blessed and privileged to worship with a small congregation in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Isn't that neat? We worship God in Bethlehem. I thought it was really cool. But we heard a sermon from the man who was there preaching, and his title was, It Takes Time to Grow. And so I want to give him the credit for some of the things that I have here this morning, some of the things that I have to say. When he began and he started talking to us about this concept, that it does take time to grow spiritually, he posed a question to us and asked us if we ever wondered why tomatoes in the grocery store were not quite as good as tomatoes grown in your home and in your garden. And so I'm very curious about that since we just started planting some things in our backyard. Why is it that at the grocery store it's not quite as good or quite as delicious? And so he shared with us that when you sell tomatoes specifically in the northern states, which is where they are, most of these tomatoes, especially in the winter months, come from Florida, Texas, and California, primarily from Florida. And so they cannot ship red, ripe tomatoes up to the north without them being horribly bruised and ruined. So they pull them early. They pull them when they are green. They're picked green and rock hard, he said. Unripe tomatoes are loaded into trucks and taken to storage facilities in the general area of where they will be sold. It is here that they are literally gassed. That doesn't sound good. Ethylene gas is what makes a tomato turn red, and tomatoes naturally produce their own ethylene gas and slowly redden as they ripen at their own pace, and that takes time when it happens on the plant. But in order to speed up the ripening process, many companies lock immature green tomatoes into the ethylene-filled chamber. But this merely forces them to turn red, not ripe. They never even get the chance to develop the flavor that we miss when we eat tomatoes that have been gassed with ethylene gas. And so the principle applies there very well for Christians. You're baptized, you're buried with Christ in baptism. You know what the Scripture says about putting off the old man and putting on the new. But our God is patient and He's long-suffering and He cares for us and He knows that this takes time. You don't come out of the water ready to preach the best sermon ever. I hope not, because that would be scary. But most of us, there's a process that takes place. We look at the Word of God. We study these things. We recognize that it applies to us. And then we work that out in our daily lives. And we stumble sometimes. We fall. We forget to apply those things when we should. And then we learn from that, don't we? We go home and we say, boy, I could have done a lot better. I'm kind of ashamed of myself. But there's a process that's happening. You cannot rush the tomato into being ripened, and you cannot rush a Christian into bearing righteous fruits unto God. Let's just look and think about a few concepts that the Scriptures have for us. And you may notice, I'm just going to tell you because I did it and I want you to notice, but the first one here is yellow. Just think of the tomato, that banner there. We're not there yet. You'll know when the sermon's over, I promise. We are being conformed and transformed into the image of His Son. We cannot forget that, regardless of how long you've been a Christian. You are in a process. Look at Romans 8 in verse 28 with me. Romans 8 in verse 28 says, And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Romans 8 in verse 29, For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed into the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. So there specifically we are told that we are predestined, we've been selected by God, we've been called through the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we are being conformed. That speaks to the very process that we go through as we grow and develop to be more like Him. You are not Jesus Christ when you come up out of the watery grave of baptism, but you've trusted in Him. You understand that He's the Son of God. You believe that with all of your heart, and you want to be like Him. And so that process begins. It's a beautiful picture, but it takes time. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 is another beautiful passage we can consider to help us think about this concept and the development and the growth that we have and enjoy. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 16. Paul says here, "Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." We've read together that we're being conformed into His image. We read here that we are being transformed from glory to glory into the image of the Lord. And that should be very exciting for us, for all of us, that there's a transformation process taking place, and it does take time. One of the main faults that I believe I had when I was first converted, first listening to the gospel being preached, was that I looked around in the church where we were studying and learning, and I looked to the deacons particularly. I'd seen them comment in class. I'd seen them, the way they handled their families. Karen and I were without children at the time. I saw that they were good, godly men, that they were bearing spiritual fruit that I could see. And I thought to myself that I got to do that first. Then I can be baptized and know that I'm on the right track and I'm pleasing to God. And that's a mistake. That's a serious mistake. I am not one of the deacons at my young age. I had not even been called a babe in Christ. How was I going to perform as a faithful, righteous Christian without even taking the first step? It was a terrible mistake, and I want to share that with you. If you think that you need to get to a certain point in order to be pleasing at all times, you are not doing yourself any favors. God requires you to hear and understand what the gospel message says to you as an alien sinner, as one who is separated from God, and God expects you to move based on what He's promised you. Then you rise up, putting off the old man, putting on the new. All things are made new, and you begin to walk that walk and develop. We are being conformed and we are being transformed into the image of His Son. And every one of us are in that process this very moment. He's working on us. He's pulling things away, chipping things away. He's adding things to us to make us more like His precious Son. It's His will for us, and we're walking in that. It's a beautiful thing. But don't give yourself too much grief, because it does take time. One of the reasons for this is because we can only give as much as we understand. Let me show you a verse in Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll just consider this idea that I can only respond to and behave in such a way that would reflect that which has been given to me and that which I understand. In Ephesians 4 and verse 17, Paul says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart." We're told why this way is not good, that it's unfruitful and that it's not pleasing to God. It's the way of the Gentile, the way that we used to walk in the futility of our mind. And there's blindness in their hearts, and there was in ours. Verse 19, he says, "Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ." There's the principle and there's the point. Have you learned about Jesus Christ? Do you know who He is? Do you know that He was without sin? If you're being conformed and transformed into His image, then you must follow in His footsteps. You must abhor all forms of evil. Anything that God says is wrong to you. Does that happen overnight? Do you have all of the Bible memorized the day after you've been converted and become a Christian? Certainly not. But are you growing? Are you ripening? Are you maturing? And are you bearing fruit? You have not so learned Christ. Christ has told you not to behave this way. Verse 21, "If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. If indeed you have heard him and you have been taught by him. The scriptures are clear to show us that we can only give, we can only offer to God that as much as we've come to understand and to know. That there's a desire within us to dig and to know more, to be better, to be stronger. That's good, that's wholesome, and that is right. But again, it would be a mistake for someone who's not even obeyed the gospel to look to a deacon who's setting a fantastic example of Christianity and to say, God's not pleased with me until I'm just like him or like her, whoever that would be that you look up to. Do we want to be like them? Absolutely. We know they set a good standard. We know that they're walking in the Spirit, and we want to be just like them. But don't forget that we can only give as much as we understand, and these things take time. I want to read Romans chapter 8. It's not up here for us, but Romans chapter 8 and verse 13 is a beautiful passage of comfort for all of us as Christians. Romans 8 and verse 13. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. We're being conformed and transformed in His image. Philippians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Paul is writing a letter or an epistle of joy to the church at Philippi, and he has many things to say to them, but I want to look closely at Philippians 1 and verse 3. Watch how the apostle speaks to these Christians who need to continue to grow and to develop. Verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with all joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing. Watch what he tells them. He is confident that God, who has begun a good work in you, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. There is a work going on within them. God is working on them. He is conforming them and transforming them. And Paul's not ignorant of that fact. He says, I go to God in prayer every day on your behalf, and I make requests for you. But I am sure, I am confident that he will complete the good work that he's begun in you. Don't you see that there's a process that takes time and there's a development that goes on within each one of us as Christians? I know most of you know and understand this, but I am not at all saying that because you're not doing well and you have sin in your life that you still might be growing and it's okay. That's not what I'm saying. We are to abound in the good things that God has set before us. We are accountable, every one of us, to the truth that He's revealed. And if you've read through the Scriptures, as I have, you know what that means. And you know that it's hard. It's hard for us to understand some of these things. I can only give as much as I understand. I've read some passages that I wrestle with that aren't secured in my heart and my mind, that I fully know all that God is saying to me. And so I need to study, I need to be diligent to look to these things and to know clearly what God has for me. This is not an excuse to sit idly by. There is no such thing in the Word of God as Christianettes. The pew potato who comes in and sits on the pew, done nothing with their faith or their confidence in the Lord, have done nothing to grow and to develop their speech and their manner of behavior. But they come in, they hear a good one, and they say, boy, that was good. You stepped all over my toes. See you next week. That's of no benefit to you. You must strive to enter into the kingdom of heaven, to long for it, to desire to know more, to call upon those who you believe have that understanding, and to ask them, to get them to help you to grow and to develop, to grow and to mature in a way that God is pleased, is always, always our goal. But I do want to say to you, after that warning, is that there is a lot to learn. And sometimes we are slow learners. Sometimes we're slow learners. I don't know about you, but there are times in my life, I get myself into a situation, and I hit my head against the wall 1, 2, 6 times. I don't know. I got a hard head. I hit my head against the wall several times, and I think, there's a Bible verse about this. And I'm ready to look at it. And I'm ready to stop injuring myself. And I'm ready to be a good man. And so I read it with the full acceptance that God's right. He's always been right. And he says this because he loves me. And because my head hurts, I'm going to do what he's told me to do. And you know what happens after that? I grow. My head doesn't hurt anymore. That's a good thing. But I grow. And I learn a lesson. Some of us are slower in our learning than others. God does not condemn us for that. We are condemned when we walk away from his truth and refuse to acknowledge the things that he said to us. So we can only give as much as we understand, but you can tell we went from yellow to orange, so we're doing pretty good. Just remember, we must remove the bad and replace that with the good. Look at Romans 13. And I want you to read the Word of God with me, saying to yourself, as I will do, that when we read these verses, I'm going to take this seriously. I'm going to understand what God is saying to me, and I'm going to do it with all of my heart. I am. I want to be pleasing to God. I want to be pleasing to the one who gives me the breath of life. Romans 13 and verse 12, the instruction from the Holy Spirit of God is this. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the work of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in the revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Paul's telling Christians in Rome to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, they did that in baptism. He's saying to them, the night is far spent. Live as those who are people of the day. Do not behave in these wicked behaviors. Put those things off. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says to Christians, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. That's a huge statement for us. Do not make provision. Do not set time, money, and energy aside so that you can walk in sin. Don't dedicate some private time that belongs just to you so that you can do things that God says you should never do. Put on the armor of God. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and determine within your heart to make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. God is not there with you. He is not pleased in those things. If we want to grow, we want to be ripened, we want to bear the fruit of righteousness as God has given to us, these things must take place in our life, both publicly and personally. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25, you may recall, we've already read from Ephesians 4. Paul told the church in the earlier reading that we should not walk in the way of the Gentiles because that's not what we learned in Christ or through Christ. But we should walk as faithful Christians. Watch how he develops this now. In Ephesians 4 and verse 25, therefore, putting away lying, not to Christians, stop lying. Let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. You see the Christian reading this and starting to work this out, that they are beginning to develop and to bear fruit? I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to cuss. I'm not going to use the Lord's name in vain anymore. And not only that, I'm going to speak with grace, so that I might impart grace to those who hear me. Verse 30, brothers and sisters in Christ, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Paul says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit whom has sealed you until the day of redemption. Do you know you are sealed? You are protected by the signet ring of the king, as it were. No one can touch you. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. The wicked one has no place in our lives or with us because we are sealed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do not grieve the very one who keeps you and secures you in your life. Do not cause him to mourn and to weep when he has the work of sealing you until the day of redemption. You are protected by God and by his word. But we should be learning. We should be bearing fruit. We should be growing stronger in the Lord and encouraging our brethren with long suffering, with spiritual wisdom and understanding. That when we speak with love and love alone. Colossians chapter 3. We'll finish here with Colossians chapter 3 as far as our scripture readings go. Colossians 3 and verse 5. Again, we're growing. We know it takes time, but we're working hard to get it done with the time that God has given to us. Colossians 3 and verse 5. Put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all of these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language, out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Verse 12, therefore, as the elect of God, here's what we should do to grow and to develop and to be pleasing to God. As the elect of God, which you are, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Bear with one another. Forgive one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, in spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And you know how this ends. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The spiritual fruit of righteousness that abounds within us, that we work that out in our lives. I'm good to you. I love you. I love every one of you. God has commanded it. And when I do that, and I do that the right way with the pure heart that God expects, great things come from that. And great things come from you when you love me. You know that's true. What a special thing God has given to us. He's not laid a burden on our shoulders. He's showing us his glory and the glory of his Son, serving one another and caring for one another in sincere love of the brethren. What a beautiful picture of fruit that is ripening as it should. We should always, I want to just sum up what we've talked about, we should always strive to grow and to improve, to produce the fruit of righteousness. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ has also laid hold of me. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. We should always trust in God. Always trust in God, and you'll begin to ripen. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 7. Remember, even the three-toed sloth made it to the ark. And the snail. If you want to go slower than the sloth, the snail made it too. I read this week that the three-toed sloth moves at 0.05 miles per hour. I think the Lord nudged him along a little bit. Or did he just let him get there? It's an important point. God's will be accomplished when we're faithful to what he's called us to do. It's always been true. It's always been that way. As Christians, we are partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. It is for this very reason that you should give all diligence to add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. If these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. If we need to respond to the gospel, if you need the help of this church, we want you to come forward while together we stand and sing to encourage you to do that.